Well, tonight we are beginning our second lesson in our series on church growth. I've entitled our lesson tonight, The Key to Christian Church Growth, or to church growth rather, is biblical balance. Now we're going to talk tonight about that and next week about that, but it is vitally important, I think. Last week we looked at trying to have an atmosphere conducive right here in our church family, which is here, thankfully, that's conducive to see the church grow. Now, tonight, when we think about things, there are just a number of things I want to point out. And if you keep notes, I'll try not to go too far, but we'll talk as much as we can. Every local church, every church needs a strong education program, strong Bible class program. We will sometimes talk about a strong missions program. When you think of missions, and I think of missions, what do we normally think of? Do we think of right here in America? Probably not, do we? I mean, we think of places like India or someplace in South America. But I have some friends in Pennsylvania who believe that when a preacher comes there to preach in Ligonier, Pennsylvania, that they're doing missions work because the church just is non-existent there. And so right here when we talk about missions work, and we're not going to really center on that tonight, but I did want to make this point. We need to be thinking, at least in my opinion only, we need to be thinking about doing missions work in this community, right here at home, because there are poor people, there are needy people. And you know, I had somebody come past the church building today. Neatest thing ever. The guy is 24 years old, just graduated from college, and he saw that we got a new preacher, and he wanted to welcome me to the neighborhood. They live right up the street, and I'm going to go visit him, by the way. They live right up the street over here, him and his four guy friends, and he's thinking about getting married, so he was talking to me about that. Well, what do you think about marriage? And I told you what I would do, didn't I? Now, if you guys want to get together and have a Bible study about this, we'll do that. And I hope that comes to be. What an open door. I never asked for it, and it surprised me. In fact, Rick was here, and there's a banging on the door, and neither one of us knew where the person was. Finally, he was out by my truck waiting for us to come out. And what a great opportunity. So they're going to come and worship with us, hopefully. And when they do, let's make them feel at home, and I know you will. Four young guys, boy, that's wonderful. That's a blessing, I want to tell you. Who would have expected it? So we also need to start thinking about, always, about having a strong benevolent program. Randy works at that. He's our benevolent guy. And so we need to always do that. But whatever we involve ourselves in must be under the framework of the pattern laid down in the New Testament. In your Bibles tonight, if you would like to turn to Ephesians 4, and verse number 3, I want to read several different translations here because I like this verse a lot. And I think about it a lot because what we must continue to have is always have this, no matter what we do. It says, make every effort, and I'm reading the New International Translation. It says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. The New Living Translation says here, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. The English Standard says, eager to maintain. You're looking, what a great word, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The Berean Translation, the Berean Literal Bible is what it's actually called, says, being diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The Amplified Translation says, make every effort to keep the oneness of the Spirit in the bond of peace, each individual working together to make the whole successful. That's really good too. We understand, as we talked last week, that one of the things we must continue to have is that peace that has saturated and permeated this family of God. Sooner or later, our elders are going to have to delegate. And they do a great job at that. I was talking to one of them again about delegating because I know what happens here isn't done other places. You ever been asked by the elder to do anything? Yeah. Who else? Anybody else been asked by an elder here to do something? There you go. That's delegation. Yeah, well, Randy, we just know, man, you just do about everything around here. So, yeah. Randy, yeah, it's delegation. And I want to read this to you because I found a very good quote. In fact, I found two great ones. One person put it this way. If you do not have delegation, you have stagnation. What's that mean? That means you aren't working. There aren't things being done. So we need to learn to delegate, and our guys do that well, our elders do. And Brother North was the one who actually said that. But folks, I love that. In your Bibles tonight, if you'll look over to the book of Matthew, the 25th chapter, we have something over here that I think everybody knows, and we've spoken on it perhaps at this church and every other one I know I've been at. Where we talk about each one of us using our talents. Now, I'm going to just say this. This is a long, lengthy reading. I've never tried this here before. So if you don't want to do it, don't volunteer. Does anybody like to read? Men? All right, brother. Start there in Matthew 25, verse 14. Take us down to about verse number 21.
And delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them, and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would receive back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents.
Everybody say thank you, Rick. That's a lengthy reading. I know it. Thank you, brother. We appreciate that. Verse 21, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your father. Also, it says, the one who had received 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted me with 2 talents. To me, see, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said, well done, a good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put in your charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one also who had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. What happened to the 1 talent man? Was he condemned or was he praised? Yeah. Who is the master in this, Randy? Who do you think the master is?
The owner of the land.
Yeah. If you say God, you say Jesus, master. Who are the servants in this parable? How about us? Yeah, you and I. We're the servants. And when we look at this together, when we think about this, this is a very easy thing, because when we talk about sometimes talents, now in this case, we understand in this society a talent to be a piece of coinage that had a weight. But when we think about talents in this, and we preach about it from time to time, what could that mean? Yeah. Yeah. So you have a talent that I don't. Remember last week I said somebody here could write a note and there ain't no way I'm going to be able to do that? I'm just not a good handwriter. I can type, but I can't write out with my hand. So that somebody has that talent. Somebody has the talent. Rick can lead singing. Some of the other men here. Some of you, like our brother tonight, led a beautiful prayer. I might not be able to lead a prayer like that. That's a talent. But each and every single one of us has a talent that we can use in the kingdom of God and in his work. But if we don't use that talent, we've got to understand. You know why I got back into full-time preaching? I had a loving elder who aggravated the socks off of me about every single week. He kept saying, I'm going to pull you aside every week until you make the decision to do the right thing. So I've missed it. It's my life. But ladies and gentlemen, he thought that I had an ability. I don't know if I do some days. Tonight I'm wondering. You know, he thought that was my ability to speak and to preach and to teach and to minister. Well, good. I appreciate that. But you and I, when we talk about the work here in this place, we have to understand that each one of us has to be willing to use our talents, because we're all going to be held accountable. Now, let me state this now. I'm going to quote C.J. Gardner. Anybody remember him? He was awesome, wasn't he? What a guy. Here's what he said. And I look for this and look for this. As the Bible school goes, so goes the congregation. Remember that? He's right. Now, when we think about that, among churches of Christ, here's what I've learned through the years. And you might remember this story being told, because I've heard it several different ways. When I was a kid in Portsmouth, Ohio, I started noticing that a lot of the denominations had... I'm going to take this off. Is that okay? A lot of denominations had really big attendance to their Bible classes and their Sunday school programs. But when it came to worship, nobody was there. And I have some reasons why I think that might be the case. But in churches of Christ, it's the exact opposite. You can barely drag people to Bible class or to Sunday school, if you want us to use that terminology. We understand, ladies and gentlemen, that why would it be important for the Neely's Bend Church of Christ, why is it important for us to have a strong, biblically-based Bible class program? Give me one reason. Can you think of one? Okay. Give me another one. Where do we learn most things? Hey, listen. Randy gets up and he leads a good prayer, and then one Sunday, I'm sick. Randy has to fill in and preach. And you'd do that, right?
Sure.
There was hesitant there. Randy gets a lesson together, and he preaches. I'm sick. I'm hoping I never get COVID again. I've had it twice. That's enough for anybody. But Randy preaches, and... you know, he's teaching us something here, and I'm not here to hear it. And I listened to the recording, and he's done just a great job, and he's used his talents. But you know what? We might grow more if Randy taught a class. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We understand that. In your Bibles and in my Bible, if you go to 1 Peter 3, verse 18, I'm reading the New American Standard again tonight for most of our reading. It says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is in the word of God that I find that I get the most comfort. The Bible says in Romans 15, verse 4, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. God's word is what leads us, guides us. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, we are to desire the, as newborn babes, the, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to what? Well, in this translation, the New American Standard, it just says in respect to salvation. The point being made is you grow from a baby to an adult so that you will be saved. What a passage of scripture. And so, ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about an education program, we're talking about a Bible class program. We'll make some more points. A BBS, perhaps a, we'll talk about family Bible school here in a moment, what that means. We might talk about other things. Have you guys ever had a Sunday school drive? Ever do that? You know what that is? Yeah. What is? What's a Sunday school drive? You don't have to say it if you don't want to. A Sunday school drive is where you have a special Sunday. You're going to send out invitations like you would for a gospel meeting. You're going to invite all of these kids in, and you're going to have a special program for them by having just a good taught Bible class. It's a Sunday school drive. We might have a meal with a Sunday school drive. Come back at night, and there's always, I believe you need to do a youth devo that night. So do a nice youth devo for all the kids who've come. Have your lesson. Maybe go to the book of Ecclesiastes and talk about your youth, your creator, and you. There's a title, right? We could do that from Ecclesiastes. And so that's something to think about. But it's an activity that's going to start pushing us out of our comfort zone a little bit. And I love you, but I know I need to get out of it from time to time. So that's one thing. What can we do when we have Bible classes every week as an incentive to have people come? Well, number one, we have good Bible classes, scripturally based, right? When I was a kid, I've spoken about Miss Weinstein again because she's influenced my life. I probably preach today because of her a lot of times, I think. So, the lady sitting right here, who I love, she's going to be mad at me for mentioning. Do you know how many preachers came out of her Bible class? It's amazing when you think about it. A young man where I used to preach was in her class, and she made her little kids memorize passages of Scripture. Now, they're having fun, but you know what? They memorized those Scriptures. And their grannies just ate it up. And that young man is preaching in Louisville, Kentucky today. Sound, solid, good man. Just got married to. Got a good family. His dad was chief of police there in that area. Just a good family. What a great man. I think about him so much and what I wasn't able to do. And his dad always says something about, Brother Miller says, well, Philip, your influence. How was it my influence? He was two when I was in the church there. My wife taught him, so it couldn't have been me. But, yeah, we all understand those things. So we need to keep these things in mind. But when we talk about Bible class programs, not only should we be centering on the youth, what do young families want from a church today? You know what one of the number one things they put on their list is? Good Bible classes. What's the holiday next month we're going into? Christmas? Who thinks about God during Christmas? Just about everybody. This is time to invite people to Sunday school, to our Bible classes. They will come if we will invite them. And then once we get them here, we love them and we just teach them and treat them and their families like you treat me and everyone else. and it's a great thing. But let me also say this. I have a goal, my dream. I guess I should say this to Tom and Rick in private. I have a dream. My goal and my dream is for us to grow so much that we have multiple adult Bible classes. I want people to say to themselves, man, you know, the Bible classes over at Neely's Bend is so good, I just can't decide which one I want to be in. And it's happened everywhere that I've been blessed to be, and my wife has been at one recently. It's Spring Hill. You don't know which one you want to go to because it's just so good. That's what we want. But we have to believe in ourselves that we can do those things. Another incentive, we give little Bibles to kids, perhaps. We have backpacks. Yes, use them. I said something about my wife making me shirts, and you know, several people came up and said to her, they didn't say to me, by the way, are you afraid of the preacher? I love you. They told her they'd love to have a t-shirt that said Neely's Bend. You know what that is? That's free advertisement, man. Yeah, if we can, we need to have some t-shirts made up with a logo and the Neely's Bend, maybe something on the back, a passage of scripture or something to catch people's ideas. And we could do that for Bible classes, for our BBS programs. But we must realize, because I hear a lot of people say about BBS. I don't like calling it BBS, but it's okay if you call it BBS, because I like to say it's Family Bible School. What do I mean by that? Who are most of the older people? The parents. A lot of those young kids, are they of the age of accountable yet? They really aren't. Are the parents? Who are we evangelizing? Well, somebody says everybody. But the family, the parents. Again, this is just a thought I'm throwing out there, and we'll come back and talk about these things. So here's three strong points, I hope. One, we need to be setting goals to make sure that we have a strong Bible-based Bible program. Two, we need to be working to prepare for that. And three, we need to pray about it every single prayer in this building and at home. When you think of Bible classes, what do you think we could do that would help us have a better Bible class program? Anybody have any ideas? Have you ever heard of something, Randy, where everybody's studying the same topic also? Sometimes churches do that because mamas and daddies are so busy and they're trying to get their kids ready to go to church and they're trying to get them ready for their Bible classes. If they're studying the same topic, it just makes sense, doesn't it, that they're going to study that with their kids. That's an idea. I know you have an idea. You're about to... That's a good thing. But somebody's sitting here, and I know I am, I'm thinking, but we don't have young people. Go ahead. You know, Bible study is important for everybody, isn't it? But when we're studying with younger people, maybe people in our family or even our friends, we're all on the same topic. Sometimes it can help. That's just a suggestion, a thought. Good point. One of the things I would like to encourage us to think about. Go over to Matthew 14. Brethren, by and large, my life is spent being pretty encouraging. We we got to believe, and we've got to think bigger than what we are. We need to be optimistic and positive. These are things that we can do. Everybody can do. In Matthew 14, verse 28 and verse 29, it says, Peter said to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. It will require me, to take those steps in faith that maybe I haven't taken that I needed to take. I'm taking one. Coming back out and trying to preach on a full-time basis again. And it has just been, I'm so happy every day. I am so happy to be a part of this family and to be in your life and you're in my life and you're helping me so much. But we need to think about Peter's statement here. We cannot step out on the water into the deep in faith unless we step out of the boat. So we need to be doing that, in my opinion. It's something we can do. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, if you go over there, we read there that we walk by faith, not by sight. We understand if we do that, it's going to help us to not do some other things, become stagnant, to become set in our ways, to only try to hold our own. We have to reach beyond ourselves and beyond these walls. Let me ask you a question. What do you think we can do now to take steps in faith and perhaps building up our Bible classes? Can you think of anything we can do? Does anybody have neighbors that have kids? I do. You probably don't live in this area, maybe. I do. How about your grandchildren, if we have grandkids? How about other people's kids? How about in the setting up a time to just send out invitations and to invite some people we used to know? Make a list of people we know. As we've been thinking about doing evangelism, this is important as well. The young people and the older people, they are always the future. I said something about Eric back here last week. I didn't mean to embarrass you, but I did. I hope you know that. This young man is one of our future. He's the future. And our other young men, they need to be considering what we can teach them and certainly going out and doing things with them, training, teaching, directing. We've got great elders. We've got John's here, and we are teaching and preaching from the pulpit. We're doing it in class. But these are good men who have the future, and we need to be developing them as well. But finally, sorry. Say it again, brother. The what?
What about trying to teach the men to lead a Bible study?
That's my next point we're going to right now. Okay? Okay. So, in order to have any teaching program, thank you, we need a good education program for our teachers. Brenda is a teacher. We got a young lady back here who is a teacher. They know things that I will never know. But I know this. I've trained and I've talked to a lot of young men and older men. So we need to be thinking about maybe once a year, if you want to, let's have a teacher's training program. Let's have it Saturday where we get together and maybe divide the men in one group and the women in one group, and or just keep it together, however you guys want to do it, and train one another to teach. It's a good thing, don't you think? Because the more we grow, the more we know, the more we can share. We have a good library, right? Rick, do we have a resource room anywhere for our teachers? I know we don't really need it right now. Do we? Awesome. So that's something else. I really think that we have some of the best, and I've told people about our bulletin boards. We have some of the best bulletin boards I've seen in a long time. But, you know, you make those changes. And you know who normally does that? Not you and me, Rick. It's the women who normally do that. So we have that resource room. We always make sure that we have the stuff they need, and we do our very best to help them in doing that. One more thing here. J.W. Stevens, which probably nobody knows, was an elder in southern Ohio years ago. I don't know him. He was before my time. J.W. was a preacher, yes, but everybody would say he's a better teacher. We've all known people like that, right? Just a good teacher. Can preach, but the gift was teaching. So what J.W. did is he would go to different churches and he would have a teaching seminar. You ever had anybody come in here who's a really good teacher to do a seminar? That's a thought. These are all things that we need to be thinking of. If the church is to grow, our Bible class programs are to be solid, sound, and growing themselves. Any comments or questions before we start drawing to a conclusion? I want to read this to you. I've been motivated in life to do a lot of things. I know I'll never be in politics. I know I'll probably never do a great address at a White House or the State House. But I do a great address every Sunday at the Lord's House. This person has taught for 39 years. You know the other danger? Nobody will take his class. You ever been burned out? In a church this size, you come across people who preach, you've taught so many times, they burn down. We need to encourage, build up, lift up in prayer, encourage constantly. And I'm going to say that over and over. You're going to hear me say it over and over. Encourage, and edify one another. Brethren, we can grow. We've got to do our part in that. This sounds very lofty. But let's start praying about it. Let's start planning for it. And let's start believing that we can do it. I hope that I've said a few things that will help us. And brother, why don't you lead us in a word of prayer?